Okay, so today we are discussing the value of personal development. I have Shanina Shumate here. I like to start with words I often share with my students. You cannot effectively lead others where you have not been. Many people get paid a great deal of money to coach and teach in areas they have yet to achieve victory. However, they are believable because these individuals are great storytellers, actors, and actresses. I believe self-reflection and transparency are fundamental to personal and professional growth. It's what propels us to transform into our best selves so we can leave the world better than we found it. Authenticity in this work, it is essential. It's an essential part of the work that we do. And this, Shanina, is something I know you practice. So let's start with this question. What is your story? How did you get here?
Well, I laugh because I feel like if I had to think of a cartoon to describe my whole life, it'd be Courage the Cowardly Dog. And I don't know if you guys remember, you remember this cartoon, I think it came on like Nickelodeon, and basically the dog would try to, will save the owner's lives all the time because something crazy is always happening. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that is kind of like symbolic of my life. I think it's going to go one way and it goes, oh, all right, I'm stronger than I thought I was, you know? So born and raised in Oakland, I'm one of four sisters, actually six, because I have two in St. Louis and three here in Oakland. Third generation educator. Part of my story is rooted in my grandma and my grandparents being raised in the Midwest. So some people come to me like, are you really from Oakland? I was like, well, my roots is from the Midwest. You know, there's certain things you just don't do. Okay. You don't walk in somebody's house and you don't greet the person who owns the house, pay the bills.
Right.
Okay. Like that's right. Something you just don't do. So there's certain things like when I walk into someone's house, like if I'm walking into one of my friends who, you know, tradition is to take off your shoes. You take off your shoes. You don't walk in the house with shoes on, you know, that's disrespectful. So part of that, people are like, what? And I'm like, it's being respectful. So part of that is part of my upbringing of like just being curious, learning people and what works in my friendships and families and things like that. So being born and raised in Oakland, I was introduced to a lot of cultures, a lot of languages, a lot of lifestyles. You know, my parents' house, grandma's house was the community house. So we saw anybody and everybody. Mm-hmm. Okay, amen. And they loved everybody where they were. So some people were welcomed in the house and some people weren't. Okay. But my parents and my grandma had a way of loving people where they were. Mm-hmm. And they allowed us to like ask questions of not, of course, there were certain things that, you know, we were kids, so we didn't know everything. But we saw a spirit of a servitude, a spirit of helping, and the spirit of what they could do for people. So either, you know, they either gave their time, their resources, or their money, or they gave referrals. And so in that space, I always was really interested in being that type of friend or some that type of professional, no matter what space I was in. So I was around all of that. And what I realized is that people are not raised that way, because I'm thinking, you know, you expect yourself out of people, right? And you're just like, right. I had to learn that the hard way. Okay. I realized that there's certain things about my upbringing is just different. I mean, I think everyone's upbringing is different, but it's just certain things is just very different where, like Maya Angelou says, you know, when someone shows you who they are the first time, believe them. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm still learning, but I'm getting better as I age. Amen. So with that, as I was growing up and having all these different experiences, I still didn't know what I wanted to do, but my twin sister wanted to do more and big and better. And I just wasn't in that headspace. I just wasn't. I'm really thankful for my twin sister, Regina, because without her, I wouldn't even know what college was. I wasn't interested in college. Mm-hmm. She's going to school again. Like, I don't even like middle school, high school, but doing another 4 years? SATs. I'm done. I'm getting a job, J-O-B. No, my sister was like, no, Shanina, gotta think bigger. So she was the person who was very college focused, and she gave me all this information about community college, four-year college, private schools, and all that other stuff. And I said, why do all that work? I can just go to a community college, just get a 2.0 and read the syllabus, make sure I get, I was that student. I would read the syllabus and be like, okay, this teacher ain't even worth my airtime. Let me see, what is a C? Okay, so I'm getting C in this class. And okay, oh, I like this class, I'm gonna get an A. And that's how I did middle school and high school. Okay. And I was just like, mm-mm.
And because where did I already you go know. Middle school and high school?
Middle school, I went to Edinburgh or McChesney. Okay. And then for high school, I went to Encinelle and Alameda.
Got it. Okay.
My twin sister went to Oakland High.
Oh.
And so that's how I went through my middle school and high school. I was just like, so already community college, I know I need a high school diploma so I can get financial aid, right? To get help. So I'm not worrying about GPA. Mm-hmm. No, I'm not worried about tests. I'm not, because my parents have exposed me to a life outside of the four walls, outside of education, like to travel and to learn about different cultures. So I already knew that this is limited. These four walls are limited. Yeah. And so even when I was in kindergarten, Lord bless my soul, I would get in trouble. And I think you may know this about me, for being honest. And it's just the way I delivered the honesty. You know, it was like with the hammer, I didn't believe in using different tools, you know, like a screwdriver, a flat wedge, you know, I just delivered the hammer. And so my parents always said, I mean, we can help you when you're honest. We can't help you when you're dishonest. So even if you did it, be honest so that we can, you know, help you.
Yeah.
So in this situation, just to give folks at home a little bit about my character. So this is what I mean by getting in trouble by being honest. You might have a kid that is like this. So my dad, really young, told us there's no Santa Claus. I am the Santa Claus. I bring everything in this house. You give me my list. Okay. And so he already broke any type of myth, you know, fairy tales, all that stuff was just dead. Like, no person's getting credit in my household. Mm-hmm. Just me and your moms. I was like, okay. So then we learn in our history, like, quick and like Black history, we learned Asian American history, was like Native American history. It was like my dad and my parents, because the curriculum wasn't there in elementary school. It was just like, no. So my parents were really active. And so imagine a five-year-old Shanina, okay? Just think about a five-year-old Shanina walking into a kindergarten class, and all she sees is a white Santa Claus, mm-hmm. and the elves and the reindeers. And my daddy just told me there's no Santa Claus. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so literally, I told myself, I'm not getting in trouble again for being honest, because I can't deliver it right. So I was, when I say I was quiet, I was quiet. So literally, I'm like quiet. And then at the end of the day, it's circle time. And I said, please don't call me. Please don't call me. Please don't call me. So my head is down, like, please don't call me. Please. And literally she called on me. She's like, what do you want from Santa Claus? I said, you're lying to us. There's no white Santa Claus. There's no Santa Claus. How are you going to be a teacher and you're lying to us? I said that out loud. Half the class was crying. The other third knew it was true. And the other third was like mixed emotions. And again, Shanina's in the principal's office. Mm-hmm. Just posted. So that's my childhood, literally. So growing up like that, middle school, high school, the same thing. And going to Laney College, I think community college really helped me kind of figure out my truth and my story and how I want to be able to be a truth teller, but yes, also to be able to decipher what is real and what is not, because all feelings ain't facts. Yeah, you could feel that way, but it's not facts, you know? So part of that growth, and I was looking at your signature quote, it says, be courageous enough to interrogate your thinking. And I was just like, yeah. So some things I had to kind of destroy of what my experience back in high school, elementary school, and all that other stuff. So when I got to college, I was able to speak from a truthful space of like, yeah, this happened, but this is ways you could be better and be courageous and challenge your own thinking.
Yeah.
Right. And that's when I got introduced to advocacy. I did radio journalism. I spoke around the country about women's rights, reproductive rights. And I just found my voice in speaking up for people who didn't feel like they couldn't speak for themselves. Hence my childhood and my upbringing. Speaking up for people.
You set some people free.
I sure did. Okay. With these words, you know, so again, like growing up in Oakland, there are certain things, I couldn't fight all the time. You can't fight all the time, but like I could use my words and advocate for people. Right. So for me, my dad was like, it's better to be standing on your two feet, being honest and truthful and mm-hmm. being honest and truthful than being on the wrong side of right.
That's right.
So, you know, part of that is I learned that really early on, like another experience in elementary school. And this is crazy that I am where I am because another story is basically my dad and my mom teaching us about Black history, about Black is beautiful, all this other stuff. I'm like super excited because I'm chocolate skin. Okay. I got kinky hair. I was so excited. So I go to school. Okay, they already know I'm special. Okay, they know Shanina's a little off, but she's fun to be around, right? So I'm going around like, hey, you know, you need to know that you're beautiful. Your skin's beautiful. Are we all beautiful? And mind you, so you know how you have these, you know, papers and they say color this green, color this yellow, color this brown. Not Shanina. What's Shanina do? Color everything black, light black, shaded black, little black, little dots. I did Shanina. I said black is beautiful on every single piece of paper. Right? I'm like happy, joy, everything. Where is Shanina at? Principal's office. Okay. I was like, look, I can't take no more principal's office in kindergarten. Okay. This is like maybe the fifth time I'm in the principal's office. And literally both of my parents are there. And I'm like, okay, all right. So I did something. I'm not clear what I did. And this teacher proceeded to say that my parents was abusing me because I like the color black.
Wow.
Now, I knew in my head part of that was true and of course my parents didn't abuse me and that was a lie, but I was like, did she really think black is like that? So literally she started stating stats and all this other stuff and how they're abusive at home and she's going around classroom telling how beautiful they are and, you know, black is this and black is not that color, totally culturally like, and so my eyes looked like this. And I'm looking at my dad just, Shanina, I need you to go play outside. Just go play outside.
Yeah.
And then I realized, I was like, okay, I'm in trouble, but not really. But that time I got in trouble because I didn't listen. So mind you, like if it said color green, Shanina, color green, stop being hard-headed, right? But the other part I had to learn early on was, you know, being a Black little girl.
Yeah.
In the educational system, that people think that I am this, you know, I'm intentionally being, you know, what is it called? Aggressive.
Right.
Being attentive, like really being like angry, like this angry Black girl. Yeah. I'm an angry Black girl. And I'm talking to everybody and say Black is beautiful and you're beautiful too.
Right.
You know, and so early on, I learned that my Blackness, my ethnic, my how I self-identify, how I encourage people already sets people off on the wrong side. You know, like they feel like it's wrong. Like, why are you doing that? Hence, now where I am now, it's like that's part of, you know, helping people to find their own truth. Your truth is in your identity. Now, just because you don't identify the same way I do,
right,
doesn't mean don't make you, you know, like less than like, or, you know, or not important. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I think part of that journey, like going to Laney College, I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't. I mean, I was always with my sister and me and my sister are first gen, technically first gen. We were the first one to kind of like go through to the bachelor's level. Let's put it that way. My mom was really into child development. That's what she wanted. She worked with kids. She worked with the babies and she was so gifted at it. Mm-hmm. I mean, beautiful. Yeah. And so she said, this is it, Shanina. Anything after that, you're on your own. So she gave me everything she wanted to give me. Okay. That she could give me. And she said, everything else, you on your own, And so that's what I did with flaws, mistakes, and everything else.
Right.
You know, I started my journey at Laney and really started to grow and to be challenged in my thinking in a way where If I continued the same pattern of like the truth as a hammer, that I wouldn't have any friends, right? Like there's a way to still tell the truth without the hammer. And there's some things that need the hammer. Okay. Yeah. Like some things, but there's other things you don't have to be, you know, so cutting, so sharp and so rude. And so I had to learn about delivery. I had to learn about how to do customer service and all those things, advocacy, and how to, you know, if a student needed help talking to a teacher or a dean, like Janina, this, you know, I was able to get trained on how to do those things. So big ups to Laney EOPS. They helped me a lot. In regards to that, and they had a, you know, I got paid via work study. And so I was in the Laney EOPS office. I worked at admissions. I did a lot of student services. Oh. And still, even in that advocacy and figuring life out, I still didn't know what I wanted to do. Okay. Let me just tell you that. I am 19, 20, still not knowing what I'm doing, but taking the classes needed to transfer, right? And so I went up to them. This is why you need a good community of people that is, I told them I'm getting my AA, my first AA, and AA. I was like, okay, I'm quitting. I put in my, listen to this. I put in my 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And I said, I'm getting my AA degree. I'm done. You know, I'm gonna go find a full-time job. And Mildred Lewis, she's the Dean of Enrollment at Laney College. She sat me down.
I work, Mildred teaches.
Let me tell you, that girl has she has a heart for me. Let me tell you, I love Mildred. Okay. Mildred, she said, Shanina. No. She's like, no, Shanina. No, you have to keep going. Let me tell you why. And I was like, but I'm really done. I'm like, I'm done writing papers and reading and regurgitating information that has nothing to do with my community. Okay. I'm done. Okay. She's like, Shanina, you need the piece of paper. Mm-hmm. And this is how it's summed up in my head. Of course, Mildred, if you meet Mildred, she has a different way of delivery than Shanina. Okay. Mm-hmm. Literally, she said, you need the paper for access to help your community. Get the degree so you can have access. I said, she said, you really want to help people? Get the paper, get the access. Okay, Mildred. Okay. Okay. So that's what I did. I went straight through though, because I was like, I can't take no breaks. So I did Laney. So I got 2 associate's degrees. And then I transferred to San Francisco State, where I got my undergrad in liberal studies and a minor in history, because I thought I wanted to be a history teacher. Again, I got my AA degrees and bachelor's, and I still don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, it happens.
It happens. And I wanna encourage minds. Sometimes you could be on the right path and still not know what you're doing. And that's faith.
Yeah.
That's faith and hope. And because I thought I wanted to be a teacher, but I thought about my temperance. I said, me in front of 30 kids. No, not going to work. And so I knew. So I went back after I got my bachelor's. I went back to my roots. I called Laney EOPS and I talked to my counselor, Sam. That's Miss Emmy. Mildred was there and a whole bunch of other people. And I said, okay, I need some help. You know, I'm confused all the time sometimes, but I need some help. So part of the courage is like finding like, where do I go next? Like, what is, like, I got these degrees. What am I doing? I don't know what I'm doing. And so Sam was like, Shanina, you need to be a counselor. I said, I'm not a therapist. That's what I'm not doing. I'm not diagnosing people. I got something special. How am I? I said, I'm already special. So again, that's me and my immature not knowing there's different therapists, you know, therapists, psychologists, and all this other stuff. He was like, right. No, Shanina. They're like, no, Shanina. It's like college and career counseling, like what we do here in EOPS. I said, oh. He's like, you do it all the time. You just add advocacy to it. You advocate for your students. You just have to learn the college and career life theories and all that. And he explained it to me. I was like, that means I have to do another 2 years of school. And he was like, Shanina, go back to school. So then so this is the part where my spiritual journey comes into play. So part of it was I was in church, but I was in church. So when you met me, I was really active. I was really engaged, but I was still stubborn. Okay. So there's a spirit of stubbornness on Shanina, but God has grace to work with me. Okay. And so he surrounds me with people to kind of break that stubbornness so that I can just persist through, because I am an actively a person that says no all the time. I don't have to have a lot of information. I'll just say no. Gina, no. Okay, no. No, I don't even have to have a reason. No. And then it's like, the Lord was like, no, you have to actually
listen. Hear the whole matter.
All in context, Shanina, in content, before you delay an opportunity. So I got better. And so part of that was, then I was like, okay, Lord, all right, I'm going back to school again. So I only applied for one school. And the Lord was like, apply to San Francisco State Counseling Program. I said, Lord, if you don't give me this one, I'm telling the Lord what to do. If you don't give me this one, I'm not going to school. Of course, the Lord conferred in my spirit once I hand delivered it that you're already in. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm going back to school. So I went ahead and did the prerequisites and stuff. And I started my journey in the counseling department at San Francisco State. Beautiful people, beautiful staff. I'm still connected with my my mentor, Dr. Tapork, to this day. Great staff. And I graduated from there. Mm-hmm. And my goal, so this is the part where what you want versus what the Lord wants. Okay. So in my vision, okay, I wanted to be like a dean or something over student services, helping students and staff, like training staff to work with students, because our students are hard to work with. Okay, we special. I'm one of them. Okay, mm-hmm. One of the special students. And the Lord was like, that's nice. It's like, tell you your plans and God's laughing at you. That's what I felt. Felt that in my spirit. So my journey has been more in the CBOs, nonprofit realm, like being outside of the system. So I feel like I'm more of like a antibiotic, or like a fresh of air, like coming into a space to reevaluate and to just uplift people and empower people and things like that. Because part of my journey is helping folks find their aha moment. Mm-hmm. Like, what is that for you? How can you be the hero in your own story? How can you, again, interrogate your own self in a way that's healthy and productive? Okay, we're not talking about self-sabotaging. We're not talking about things that's going to break you down, the things that are, you know, just going to be totally disruptive. But in a way, you have to kind of disrupt your thinking so that you can grow. So imagine a plant growing and then you're not repotting it. Mm-hmm. So that's going to look a certain way, right? And so part of my, I call it my early, what did they call it? Early professional development. I'm an early educator, so I'm a young educator. Is that I'm redefining what that is outside of the educational system. So literally I'm an educator at heart, but I'm not in education. Although that's not my goal, my goal was, okay, Lord, I would love to teach at one of the community college or at Mills College or train, and that's not where it is. And so my gift and talents is really encouraging individuals, families, businesses to stay on track towards their dreams, goals, and aspirations. And it takes courage to challenge yourself, because you can stay the same. Mm-hmm. You can't. You could be like, ooh, I saw that challenge. Not today, Jesus. I don't want to. And you can walk away, because it's a choice.
Yeah.
Again, the scriptures say, stand at the door and knock. Mm-hmm. You can open the door. Jesus is a gentleman. Mm-hmm. He's not going to bust in the door. He's going to, hey, you ready? Mm-hmm. I'm here. Yeah. You know, and so I think part of courage is a choice. It's a choice to be courageous, right? Like, going back to my movie, If I Was a Cartoon, Courage the Cowardly Dog, he was scared out of his wits, but he did it scared.
Right.
He did it scared. And I think part of it is, like the scripture says, in our weaknesses, he is made strong. Mm-hmm. And so part of that, I'm like, okay, Shanina, this is a time you would pop up out the mouth, but you have to be quiet. You don't need the hammer. Amen. And so that is some things that I'm still learning, is just taking a pause. Like when you say, like, take a break, take a breath. You know, for me, I have this like fidgety toy like sometimes I'm on Zoom meetings and I'm just like, I have this little toy that I play with. I'm like, I don't like what that said. Okay, Lord, give me some words. Give me some words. Give me some aspirations. Give me something that's going to work in the situation. But I think part of the growth in, my development in helping community, helping individuals and families is the development or the development over time, right? So for example, I have a student, I call her a community baby because she was a foster youth. So mm-hmm. she had no parents. So literally community programs raised her, mm-hmm. okay? From 12 years old to now. And so part of that is looking at, as she's growing up, what part does she need to grow in? What part that I need to change and evolve in my rapport and relationship with her? And what does that look like over time? Because I can't use things from 10 years ago because she's a different person. Same thing with me. Mm-hmm. So I think that it's part of my story. It's still going. I'm still learning. I'm still curious. I'm still figuring out things. I think the thing about personal development is I feel like, and this is the challenge, is I always feel like you arrive. Like, oh, I got it. Yeah, no.
Right.
No. There's no arrival. It's kind of like a step, like you made it to this one step of the development, right? I think about the Maslow hierarchy, right? Like all the way up to self-actualization. And it's like, you get to one point, you're like, okay, there's another area in my life that is not really great. Let me go work on that. You know, what areas do I need to feel more proud in, right? So like, for example, there's certain things I need to recognize that I'm really good at, but I feel like I don't want to rub nobody the wrong way, you know, because they'd be like, oh, Shanina, she's so into herself. Like, yes, I am. Okay. Somebody has to.
Right.
Okay? Somebody has to be proud of me. So I think part of that is learning that it's okay to, you know, give myself acclamations and affirmations. It's okay for me to, be myself. And, you know, I am loud. I am opinionated. I want people to feel good. I want people to not just feel good, but like be feeling good in who you are. And I think part of that is people dim their light. So other people don't notice them or, oh, you know, I don't want them to think a certain way. And, you know, and it's just like, no, it's time out for that. It's 2023.
Right.
Be you. That's go right. Be you in the best version of that as possible. And yeah, that's kind of like, I feel like it's like I haven't arrived. Mm-hmm. I haven't, you know, this is just part of the story of where I am right now. Right now I am, you know, a business owner. Mm-hmm. I do empowerment coaching. I do aesthetics and I do yoga. And the yoga piece is looking at, and aesthetics is like, how does stress show up in the body? You know, some people stress shows up in their skin. Like they get rashes. Like for me, I get hives. Okay. Mm-hmm. I get these little hives and these little, it's not even pimples. They're really hives that like break out on my face. And I'm like, okay, I'm stressed about something, you know, or some people have a knot. Like for me, I get a huge knot in my lower back. And then right here, my migraines start to kind of flare up. Right. And so part of that is paying attention to your body. Although you may not think you're stressed, but your body is triggered. Okay, you need to listen. And I think with, you know, COVID and learning about self and stress and mental health and wellness, I think more people are a little bit more attentive to how their body feels. Mm-hmm. Because I remember, you know, going to work, even if I had the sniffles, you know, mm-hmm. like I was still going to work. You know, like yes. I was still going to work yes. with the sniffles, yes. you know, I was still going to work with, you know, feeling like doing a half a day.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, and now I was like, I know I'm sick. I actually should stay home because I'm sick. You know, right. It's called PTO for a reason, Shanina, take a PTO. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think learning that about myself, learning that there is, you know, growth in the process and there's growth in development. There's growth in where I am through life changes, right? So I don't have to do things the same. I don't have to be the same, you know, so. Mm-hmm. that's kind of like where I am. I don't know if that answers the question, but.
You did. You did. I think you even got at mm-hmm. a little bit at why mm-hmm. you're so passionate about this work. We'll come back mm-hmm. to that. But there, mm-hmm. there are a few things you said mm-hmm. that I want to highlight, because especially the last thing you said when you talked about COVID and the fact that, well, first, it's the time that the world stood still, right?
Yes.
We were all still after living a life of extreme busyness, right? Many people commute, especially if you're here in California, where a lot of people can't afford to live in the Bay. So right. they work in the Bay. So they're commuting in, and God knows we've done that. And it takes a toll on not only your vehicle, but your body.
Yes.
So this is a time where the world actually stood still for a number of reasons and mm-hmm. caused us to pause and either embrace fear or embrace a time of reflection.
Yes.
And faith. You mentioned something, and I just said this about a week ago. I said, I remember times I went to work sick.
Yeah.
You know, I'm getting over something and you just quickly, you still have the sniffles and you just go back to work and
like it's normal.
Take tissue or whatever you need, right? Whereas now many of us are paying attention to our bodies. And so where we would still move in the past, even when it was a time to be still, mm-hmm. our bodies tell us yep. when it's time to be still.
Yes.
And yet, prior to COVID, we just persisted in the movement. We just decided, I got to keep it pushing. I got to yep. keep it moving. We yep. live in California is a very fast paced state where you got to get the bag. You got to make it happen.
Right.
It's so expensive to live here.
Right.
And now we're living in times where it's not optional. It's not optional.
Yep. Exactly.
Many people aren't here anymore for various reasons. Mm-hmm. They're not here. And it is true that, especially as I was listening to your story, I'm not surprised. I understand your why. I understand the reason behind the passion. You were raised by coaches. In addition to your parents, you were in environments where you were coached to the place that you're at now. You had coaches at Laney. You mm-hmm. had your sister coached you. Mm-hmm. You then had coaches in the EOPS office. You had coaches at San Francisco State. You had people cheering you on. What does a coach do? A coach identifies whatever your goals are, and then we help you meet those goals.
Yep.
But before you can even do that, the first thing we have to do, which is what you did, is, okay, you admitted, I still don't know what I'm doing. When we decide, but you were open, you were coachable.
Yes.
You were open to the advisement. Often what a person has to decide is, okay, well, what parts of my... First, we have to admit that we're not happy with the way that, okay,
that part.
I don't know what to do, but what I do know is I'm not happy with the way my life is going now, or yes, I'm breaking out in hives, or things keep showing up. I'm having these reoccurring experiences and mm-hmm. I don't know why. So yes. I'll at least acknowledge that is a part of my story. I need to change.
Yes.
I need to change it. And I don't know how to change it. So I need to get help.
Yes.
I need to find someone who can help me identify what parts of my story I need to change and position myself to where I'm coachable. And I have to be willing to stop moving
yep.
and simply be still.
Yep. And listen, right. And I think part of the folks in my life, were able to hear me and
yes.
my venting.
Right.
And
right.
know that that's how I feel, but that's not my facts. Right. And so they were able to coach me through my feelings and disrupt that thinking and those patterns of, Sheena, you're much more than that.
Yes.
Sheena, you're much more than that. And someone said it really, really great. We're already born with our adult teeth.
Wow.
And at the same time, I've never seen my ears. Like, I can't turn and see my ears, right? So in a way, they were able to describe to me what I needed to see in myself, right? Mm-hmm. So my adult teeth is already in, you know, it's there, it's coming, whether you like it or not, it's coming. And Sheena, I see something that you don't see. And so I had to trust their genuineness and their leadership, right? That, and that's hard, okay? I mean, Sheena's like, I don't do that lightly. Like, you gotta be consistent. And even for me, and trusting people, like, I have to trust that you have my best interest, even if it's wrong. Like, we find out it's wrong. Like, you're not intentionally, like, throwing me down, you know, under the bus or setting me up, blah, blah, blah. But if you're intentionally helping me, and I trust that you're describing my ears correctly, you know, I can be like, okay, let me do the song and dance with this, because I've done crazier stuff. I said, what's more? Like, yeah. All right, Sheena, all right, 2 more years of school.
Mm-hmm.
What's the worst? Sheena, what are you going to be doing in 2 years? Okay, that's fine. I'll do it. You know, like, although my attitude was like, but it worked out for me in the end because I listened. Mm-hmm. I just had to be able to align my attitude, right? Like, part of that in professional development is my attitude. It's my delivery, right? And they were able to protect that space, right? In a way where, Sheena, you got to change that, because how you walk out there, how you present yourself, blah, 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 is how people are going to, like, interpret you. I'm like, okay, so I got to fix my face, blah, blah, blah. So, but what I realized, even in all of that, even in grad school, I still had challenges.
Mm-hmm.
I almost quit 4 times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
4 times.
Yeah.
And I can count, because I went back to Dr. Tapor, God bless her soul, love her. And some of the folks in the, you know, that I had in my class, because, you know, I was discriminated against, or I was, you know, shunned down, or people, this one girl, believe it or not, took up my presentation time so that I couldn't present to get a grade because she didn't like me.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't like me. And basically I said, no, you took up my time to present, so I don't know how I'm gonna get a grade. And she's like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm like, no, you're not sorry. And I just said that in front of the class. I said, you're not sorry. You did that intentionally, and I don't respect it.
Mm-hmm.
And the teacher had to pull me to the side. I said, no, you know, because I had issues with her in the group. And I said, I don't do that. You know, you don't play with people's grades. We're in grad school, okay? We're in grad school. Leave that to the minors, okay? We're in the major leagues, okay? So there's certain things about me that I still had to learn through that, like,
right.
But, you know, that's one example. I had one professor literally, like, like, I came to her office hours trying to figure out, you know, how she was doing papers and just asking questions. Literally gave me attitude, yeah. Like, had pushed, like, I'm like, she's like, and you should know this already. I said, if I did know this, I wouldn't be in your office hours.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I said, no, it's okay. I'll just go file a complaint. That's okay. So I want to go file a complaint. Yeah. So I think part of that is it still goes. I just am learning better ways to advocate for myself instead of, you know, what I want to say, like how I used to do it, for example. Like, there's certain things as a hammer, like the hammer is filing a complaint. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have to, like, engage with you back and forth, you know?
Right.
And it's just certain things, just being a Black woman, it's just what it is. It's just like, okay, you're that type of person. All right.
Yeah.
I know how to position you. I need to. Okay. Right. Sounds great.
Right. It's so important. And this is a part of the journey to authenticity. Mm-hmm. In embracing who you are spiritually,
yeah,
mentally, What are your values? What do you believe? Mm-hmm. And when we believe the truth about ourselves, and that is that we can't really ascribe a value to ourselves because we're priceless, right? When we show up in these spaces and we know who we are, and this is something I often share with my undergraduate students, understand when you show up knowing who you are, you're the student,
right?
Which means you're the consumer.
Right.
And an example of this is the college professors are there because you're here. You pay the salaries. Because if there were no seat, if there were no bodies in the seats, there would be no need for college professors. So when you understand that, then we approach these spaces with a different attitude, not an attitude of timidity, but we understand this is a mutual agreement. You're here because I showed up. Then we establish that and we establish that understanding. But when we don't know who we are, and that is a part of the journey to authenticity, and which that process of self-discovery can happen through coaching.
Yes.
We don't do this stuff. We don't have to do these things in isolation, especially if we have grown up in environments where some other ideology has been imposed on us. That's not the truth about who we are. Mm-hmm. Then we get access to people like you who will take us through a process of, or people you were exposed to and people I was exposed to who helped me discover the truth about me.
Right.
And now that I understand the truth about me, now we're out here coaching other people and telling them, no. You first of all, you're priceless.
Yes.
Let's establish that. So when we walk into these spaces and we look like you or I, oppression is something that I can choose to participate in. Right. Mm-hmm. I can choose to call myself oppressed, or I can choose to call myself victorious.
Yes.
And so when I understand that truth about myself, then I'm not afraid to advocate. So because you understood that, wait a minute, you're here because I'm here. So since you have that misunderstanding, then let me just go through the process. Mm-hmm. And I'll just allow your supervisor to deal with you, because this is not worthy of my time
or my air. That's what I've been saying. This is not worthy of my air.
Right.
Okay. It's not worthy of my air. Uh-huh. And then people understand, oh, she is like over. I'm like, no, it's not. And part of it is, even in my work environment, one of my supervisors said, oh, Shalina's hard to work with. Right. And I was like, so what do you mean by hard to work with? That means like not doing your job and not being compensated. Is that what you mean? Mm-hmm. Now, this is in front of HR. At this point, this woman was taking my ideas.
Oh.
And then branding it as her own. Uh-huh. And I caught on. I mean, I was like, okay, I'm going to give, you know, I come up with ideas all day, so I can just give ideas for, you know, just they just come to me. Right. And I'm like, but just give me credit. Like, that's okay. I was like,
that if it's going to help the agency,
mm-hmm. it's going to help purpose. That's fine. It's okay. But then it's like, if you didn't want to make me, let's say, interim manager, and you wanted to get that extra couple hundred dollars to be interim manager, okay, then you do that. Right. You didn't want to promote me. That's fine. That's your business, not mine. So then what happens is that she, went to HR and she was like, oh, Shanina's just hard to work with. She doesn't listen to me. You know, she's just X, Y, and Z. So they pulled me in and they were like, well, Shanina, we're getting some feedback that you're getting hard to work with. I was like, oh, really? What examples do you have? And then they'll say, well, Shanina, you know, they said, you know, my supervisor X, Y, and Z. And I was like, oh, you mean doing her job for her? Oh, not being promoted to a manager so I can actually be a you know, something that matches my job description. Oh, no, that's not what I mean. I said, well, what do you mean? Because it sounds like you want me to do her job. Mm-hmm. She gets paid over $100K. I don't get paid $100K.
I'm getting paid pennies. Okay? I'm not doing that. So if you promote me up, sure, you can have every idea I have. But she's not going to sit up here and take my ideas, not give me credit, not compensate me,
right.
Don't give me a title change. And then she could flow off and like, no, I'm not doing that. So it's either going to write me up or I'm going to go back to work.
Right.
Then and they have that, to.
That what you're talking about is an example of the reframing.
Yes.
Because we always have choices, right? In every situation. The power, it really is in our hands. And you took your power back because that was a power play, right?
Yep.
She was trying to impose her power over you. And you said, no, I'm going to take my power back in this situation because there is no dynamic if you don't have my ideas.
Yep.
Right. There's no dance. There's no engagement here because what I'm going to do, I've already reframed, is I'm not oppressed in this situation. I'm going to set myself free from this situation and decide to cut it off here. You get no more ideas. Mm-hmm. And so again, I think just that example alone is helpful to someone who thinks that there's no way out. So many of us, particularly those of us who are Black women in this country, I'm just going to talk about us right now because we're two Black women in this country, feel trapped and feel like we don't have any choices. And there are small little things like that we can do that changes the whole dynamic. It changes the dynamic. And the thing I love is you figured it out a long time ago that because sometimes we graduate from college. I know we felt this way, both Chris and I. You graduate from college and you look forward to working at an organization that will give you the space to be an equal player,
right?
In the space. And then you quickly find out, there's a hierarchy here.
Mm-hmm.
And they're comfortable taking the ideas and taking credit for those ideas. And then we figure out somewhere along the way, well, we have to create what it is we want to see. And the fact that you have actually figured out a way to do that. That's another example of how we can set ourselves free from whatever dynamic we feel trapped in is, yes, you have a job and you work somewhere, but you also have given yourself the creative license to build something.
Yeah. And so a part of that experience was that supervisor, I would say, wanted to keep me in a certain position because I was really good at it. Okay. I know I have receipts. I know I'm good at what I do because I actually love what I do. I'm passionate about what I do. And I was like, no, I need to grow. She disagrees. Okay. You can keep that opinion, but I'm going to go promote myself. And that's what I did. So I tell people all the time, your employer will have an opinion of you and you need to make sure that your purpose, plan, and whatever, it's in alignment of that, which is fine. If some people it's not, and that's okay. You can separate yourself. I still talk to some of my former employers. I was like, you know what? We have a difference here and I can no longer work here. And I respect them as individuals. Like, I don't burn a bridge unless it needs to be burned, but I don't believe in burning bridges unless they need to be burnt. Right? Just because I have a professional difference doesn't negate that rapport. And that's just my opinion. So for example, in that situation, it's easy for, I would say, being a Black woman, you're being insubordinate because you're not listening. You are not following instructions the way I would like you to follow instructions. And then I had to be back and I was like, well, the instructions you're giving me, it's not in my job description. So I think you may want to circle back and figure that out. And I said, I know Department of Labor laws. I know EEOC. Okay. Department of Fair Housing and Employment. Okay. I can go get some, I got receipts. So don't play me. Don't come for me. I will bring the tsunami and the Red Cross for you. Okay. All right. I have no problem. Okay. And so in some cases, that's the hammer. In some cases, I had to talk like that, you know, because you're trying to have me sign a piece of paper of a reprimand. And I'm like, there's no example of the reprimand. So you're wanting me to sign to something to say that I actually agree with something that you're not really explaining to me. And I know by law, I don't have to sign it. Now the employer, I said, as an employer, you can do what you want. You can, this is an at will job. You can fire me right now. It's at will. You can do what you want. It's okay. You can fire me. It's good. Just let me know what you decide, because I already know what I'm doing. And I said, is this meeting done? Are we finished? And I left. I left the meeting. And they didn't do anything, because it's what can you do? I said, you're giving me stuff that's outside of my job description. You don't want to promote me. You don't want to give me compensation. I said, boom, 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 boom. Nope. That's just what it is. And I think some people are scared to talk like that. But because of my upbringing and knowing my value, right? And know that every idea that I have given folks makes money. And I don't mind, because I'm helping the cause. I'm helping, you know, the purpose of the org. That's what you hired me for, right? But within my, you know, if you know that I'm worth more, then do so. Do right. Do right by people. And don't, for example, like I've had plenty of my students, for example, I always encourage them, like, make sure to go back and get your high school diploma. Please go back and get your high school diploma. No, this job really cares for me. Nope, they're going to suck up every cent of your ideas, your energy and love and everything. And they're not going to promote you because you don't have a high school diploma. No, Shanina, they will never do that to me. They say they care. Guess what they do? That person has to train the person that's qualified because of a piece of paper.
That's
and she quit.
In between one person and the other. My mother went through that when she worked. She worked in banking for years and trained her supervisors. And the only distinction is my mother obviously had far more experience and knowledge than the person they hired. But the distinction was the fact that the person they hired to supervise her had the college degree and my mother did not. So we often see that happen, because what the distinction that's always made is you don't have the degree, or you don't have you have the experience but you don't have this. And so I want to, now I'm going to shift just a little bit or circle back, because now we're getting ready to go into the workshop that you have coming up. We're going to take a quick break, but this is something I want to talk about, this because often people aren't satisfied, or they come to a place where they feel like they're in a situation that's unfair, or they're in a situation where they can't do anything about it. And the question becomes, well, what will happen if you do something? And then, and I often encourage people to examine whatever they're uncomfortable with this way. What will happen if you do something? And what will happen if you don't?
Yep.
And if you look at the two, it's easy to make a decision about whether or not you need some coaching by what will happen if you decide to sit with someone who can help guide you through your own thoughts.
Yep.
Right? What'll happen if you do? And what will happen if you don't?
Right.
Well, often what we find out is, well, if I decide to do it, I could walk away more enlightened, right? I can walk away more clear. If I don't, I'll be right where I am. I'll be where I am.
Yeah, it's the courage to change. It's the courage to pivot. It's the courage to be like, I want to do a 180, you know, like
exactly.
The courage to be able to have a plan or prep a plan. And one of the things I did was, like, at that particular employment, I disagreed. They went ahead and did their thing, and I went ahead and did my thing. I was like, okay, I'm planning my exit. That's what I did. And I promoted myself.
You planned your exit.
I sure did.
Plan See, one of the our main goal and our main focus, especially with the coaching, is to help people live their life on purpose, help yes. people live purposefully. So you plan. I'm so happy you said that, because that mm-hmm. is a part of establishing, setting SMART goals. You come up with a plan. If there is something that is in our lives we need to change, we recognize, okay, this is not working for me. I'm on a merry-go-round. I don't want to be on this merry-go-round anymore. Then that means we have to make a plan to change. Yep. Set a plan to change and then get the help we need. So we're going to take a break. And mm-hmm. when we come back, I want to talk about the workshop you have coming up and then share some final thoughts.
Cool beans, as my niece would say.
So, Shanina, you have an upcoming workshop, Courageous Vibes. Tell us about it.
I think a part of it is having courage is a choice. This is how I feel, okay? It's a professional opinion. Now, sometimes courage can happen where you could choose to step in or step out, or you could choose to just not involve yourself, right? It's a choice. Sometimes, you know, people are like, it's in the moment, I had to do it. But even if you felt like you had to do it, guess what? You had courage, right? And I think some people equate courage to like being in the military or mm-hmm. being a firefighter and things like that, which these are all honorable positions, don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But there's these things that happen to us day to day, or things that we avoid, okay? Because it takes courage to address it, okay? Mm-hmm. Like for me, I have certain fears. I'm not gonna go into, you know, in it because it's in the presentation. And part of those things is, what is the strategies and steps and goals to address those fears with courage, right? And so part of that is these things and strategies that I, you know, say in the workshop, where you can, you know, exemplify your courage, right? So of course there's a lot of courages, you know, that you can point out in people. But the three ones that I'm focusing on is the physical, the spiritual, and the moral. And so in those three things, I feel like as we go through life in general, whether married, school, kids, self-development, it doesn't matter. There are some parts in, like, as we walk this journey called life, right? Mm-hmm. There is going to be challenged in some way, right? Someone's going to challenge your morale. Someone's going to challenge you physically, right? For example, if you know someone who went through cancer, right? It is a lot on the body. Right? Mentally, emotionally, and it takes courage to get back up and go back to chemo, or courage to be like, you know what, I need to go to the doctor, or courage, you know, it's just a lot of courage to say yes to it. So part of courage is addressing something that's uncomfortable. Yeah. It's not pleasant.
Yeah.
This is why you look at it, you be like, I don't want to. So for example, like, health, right? Diabetes run in my family. Mm-hmm. So there's certain things I just can't afford to do. Although having fried chicken every day, I would love that. Because something about the crisp, the moistness of the chicken, okay? There's something about that it just makes me feel good. But having it every day, it's not really good for my heart, arteries. Things like that, right? And so part of that is addressing head on, mm-hmm. what do you need to take courage to take on? Like, what uncomfortability do you need to address? Mm-hmm. And that looks different for everybody, you know, and I don't want to say, oh, this is better than, no. You know, it could be standing up to your dad that, you know, like, hey, I don't like it when you have that opinion, mm-hmm. you know, and it could be, but even though that's small, but that affected you your whole life. Mm-hmm. You know, my thing is saying no. I can say no to everything. That's my problem, you know? And it takes courage to be like, no, Shanina, you got to think a little differently. challenge that thinking, right? And so part of that is kind of like demystifying like what courage is. And in some parts of our lives, we choose not to have it. Mm-hmm. And when you have a choice not to engage in courage, it's kind of like it's stumping your growth, right? It's like, for example, if I decided to stay at that job and accept the fact that my supervisor said, you know what, Shanina, it's okay for you to be in this position here, not senior level, not executive level. You're cool right here. We need you right here. And if I said yes to that, then I could have just, you know, just tamed it and been okay with it and just, you know, be okay with not being challenged and be okay with just being the same mediocre self. But I'm not a mediocre person, okay? I'm just never been. Mm-hmm. It's never been my spirit to be mediocre. And if I am mediocre, people are looking at me crazy, okay? Mm-hmm. And so part of that is, you know, challenging my supervisor and having the courage to challenge, you know, my supervisor. I'm like, hey, you know I'm worth more. You just don't believe I am. So, and that's your recommendation, so be it. It's okay. I'm gonna go this way. You can go that way. Right. Respectfully.
Right.
So that's looking at those three things and also how courage is not a pretty picture sometimes. And sometimes it is. Sometimes it's great. Like, you know, and sometimes you're like, man, I just stirred the water and I don't even know how it's gonna settle. But you sleeping good at night.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's the authenticity, being you have to be true to yourself.
Yep.
So you can sleep at night.
Yep. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's a little bit of that. And I hope the goal is so that they, you know, those who come to the workshop will be able to select something that's bothering them that is going to take courage to overcome. Yeah. And there's certain courages or certain things like the one I'm going to address in the workshop. It's going to take some time. Mm-hmm. It's not an overnight thing. There's some things you're like, when you do it, it's like, yes. And it's done. Like you can keep doing it. But part of the, I would say the personal development piece for me is to be able to say, I conquered something, right? Like we're not conquering everything, but it feels good and esteem to be like, I accomplished, right? You to be able to toot your own horn, to be able to say, I did something that was good, that was great. And it's part of my personal development.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Okay. So, and it's on Saturday, February 18th.
Yes.
From 11 to 12. Everyone will get an opportunity to get more of this live virtual group coaching.
Yeah. And it's also a difference between a no period and a no comma.
Right.
Some people feel like their no's have to have an explanation to it. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't. I think with a no comma, depending on rapport, relationships, and dynamics, it's necessary. And that's totally fine. And then there's a part where it's no. And it's a period. And that's it. There's no explanation to it. Yeah. Or it's just a face like this. And that's it. And I think people have to be okay with being, what I want to say, not understood. Mm-hmm. Jay Shetty, I think it's Shetty. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I'm okay with being misunderstood.
That's right.
Because I can't be understood by everybody, right? And so at the end of the day, like you have to be okay with being misunderstood. Mm-hmm. And not everyone's you're not gonna be everybody's cup of tea. And that's okay, because I'm somebody's cup of tea. And I'm with somebody else that has my same cup of tea or similar or complements my tea or whatever case scenario. But it's a difference between a no period and a no comma. And I think when I say courageous vibes, it's ongoing, because personal development is ongoing.
Yes.
You're going to be challenged all the time.
All the time. All the time.
All the time in different areas of your life. It could be finances. It could be physical. It could be emotional, social, work, family, individuals, someone walking down the street and decides to throw a rock at your car. I mean, it's, you know, it's courageous vibes, like courage to address the uncomfortable.
That's
right? And part of my life, I feel like I just started that real early. Okay. Mm-hmm. Real early. Okay. Real early. Real early. And I wasn't perfect, let me tell you. All right. But I know that part of growing up is making mistakes. Growing up is admitting when you're wrong. And also it's people can choose to forgive you or not forgive you. Mm-hmm. That's their life's journey. But also at the end of the day, you have to do what's right in your heart and what's going to make peace. So even if you ask for forgiveness and they choose not to forgive you, then that's on them. You did your part.
That's right.
Forgiveness is the journey for the individual, right? And I try to forgive quickly. Mm-hmm. Because unforgiveness breeds a dirty, nasty, regretful, just a nasty attitude on people that has nothing to do with the situation.
Right.
It could be, oh, that person, like, for example, I'm talking to you and you're like, oh, that person I didn't like had black frame glasses too. I'm not going to like Shanina too. Like, it's disassociation of the union. I'll just like, no. But what happens is that people have displaced anger, right? And that can happen with courage, right? And so you might see me addressing certain things. Oh, I want to dress like Shanina. But instead you're like, oh, no, Shanina. Ooh. You know, you got an attitude because you don't want to address things in your life. I'm trying to help you out. Mm-hmm. Okay. Just trying to help you out. Trying to pass the baton, you know? And like I said, you know, it's just having courageous vibes is ongoing because personal development is ongoing. Doesn't stop. Professional development doesn't stop. I got my master's back in 08. If I relied on just the information I only had in 08, I probably wouldn't be a great counselor today. There's no way I could be a great counselor. There's no way. If you do not have continuous continuous training, continuous updates, continuous things, what's going on? Like if I refuse to, like with my business to go hybrid, mm-hmm. my business would take a tank because right. I'm not changing with the times. You know what I mean? Like my business will suffer. My employment will suffer because I'm not learning new skills, mm-hmm. right? And right. part of being courage is addressing like, I got to learn this Zoom thing, Zoom Academy. That's what I call it. Zoomness. Okay. Skypeness. I'm like, what's all this technology? Right. And, but without it, I don't think we'll be able to make it. I don't know who said it, but the only thing constant is change, and it's easy to stay the same. And if you feel like you're stagnant in your growth, whether professionally, personally, socially, whatever area in life, then you have to look at what areas in your life that you're not taking courage in, that you're not addressing. Mm-hmm. The other part is the discipline, right? People be like, oh, I'm motivated to, you know, go to the gym and get healthy, but you got to be disciplined to do it. Mm-hmm. Like you could be happy about, yeah, I got this plan on paper. But it's just a plan on paper if you don't do nothing. You're still going to stay the same. And then the other part I would say is knowing your why. Is your why strong enough for you to do something?
Yes.
Like, is it? Like, really, is it? And I mean that genuinely. So if you're saying, oh, Shanina, you know, I would love the courage to go to the gym and do these things. Okay. Well, maybe it's not the gym. Maybe it's just going outside and taking a walk, you know? You know, maybe it's, you know, working out in your house, you know, like, what do you need to do to redefine your why? Like, what do you need to do to be like, my why is strong enough to be able to do something, right? And I think a lot of times people feel like, oh, I need to be validated by somebody, mm-hmm. you know, somebody needs to see this. I need to post this on social media and people, I need to get these likes. Like, no, mm-hmm. it's here. What makes me happy? Makes me happy. And this is why I'm able to walk in this earth, because I'm doing things that make Shanina happy. And if it makes you happy at the same time, great. Mm-hmm. And even if it doesn't, it's okay. Go live your best life. Okay. And so part of that journey in cultivating, I would say joy is continuously to be curious. You don't know it all. You don't know it all. Being able to say thank you, have gratitude. You know, my big thing is making sure I recognize people and that I see them, right? So that I'm like, oh, I got to make sure that people are recognized, right? And then the other thing is if you have a spiritual belief. So for me, I pray, I meditate, I have my venting sessions with the Lord. I'd be like, Lord, you know, that's the area that you want me to have courage in, is to shut up. okay, you want me to just be quiet, be mm-hmm. silent. Mm-hmm. And I really just want to say a couple words. I do. I'm going to trust you know what's best for me. And sometimes I have to say it out loud because I know he knows what's best for me. But I feel like, you know, putting myself in there, I know better than God. No, I don't. If I really set it on the altar and then decide to pick it back up again, the Lord is like, well, you picked it back up. You said you can handle it. Go handle it. See if it works out for you. But I have to leave it there on the altar. So sometimes I have to write it out and like put it like somewhere and just look at it and be like, okay, it's on the altar. The Lord's going to take care of it. I got to pray the word over it and do all that stuff. So that's what I do. The other thing is giving. Yeah. Like, again, time, resources, money, referrals, just giving someone a hug, whatever case scenario. I remember I was coming down from my happy face, my happy place, which is called Fitness. Okay, if you haven't been there, you should go. Hooch Sounds is my ice cream. That is my happy place. That's my cheat day. That's, I go there by myself. That is my happy. You want to know where Shanina is when she's happy? You know, I'm going back to my once a month routine, Fitness. I love Fitness. I love Fitness since I was a little girl, mm-hmm. and I go there. But I was walking down the street coming from being happy, and this girl was crying mm-hmm. on the wall. I don't know her from a can of paint. But I saw her and I stopped in my tracks. I said, you okay? She said, yeah. I said, you sure you're okay? And she just started bawling. And I said, you need a hug? And she's like, yeah, I hugged a girl. I don't know this girl. I don't know. I just started speaking life. I said, you're beautiful. You're kind. You're intelligent. Whoever hurt you is not even worthy of your airtime. I just started just speaking affirmations over her. And I said, it's okay to vent how you feel. It's okay to, you know, be angry and upset. Just don't put it out on the wrong person. And we had a talk and she said, thank you. And I said, go to your friend's house and have a great time. Whoever hurt you, it's not even worthy. I wish I could see him because I was like, me, you know, you hurt my friends, it's a problem, you know? But it's just the thought that I saw her humanity, right? Yeah. And in the moment, I didn't walk by. Like, people's walking by. I said, how you walk by someone crying?
You weren't so busy.
No.
You didn't notice it. You were it was hard not to you were notice. In the moment.
Wow. I was like, you okay? I just stopped me because I'm in a happy mood. And you know, I'm walking by people smiling and stuff, you know. And I looked up, it caught me off guard because it's different than what I was seeing coming to me. And she was just crying. And I was just like, oh no, I gotta take a moment. And I was late for a meeting. And I text that person. I was like, wait, I'm gonna be 20 minutes late. Because it was just like, my thing is there's so much unhappiness that leads to like, it could be suicide. It could be like, I'm gonna go MIA on someone. Like, you know, I'm gonna go AWOL, you know? There's so many crazy things that people do. I say, if I see someone, I'm be like, hey, I see you. What you need? You need a hug? I can give a hug. I'm not a hugger though, but I'll give a hug if you need a hug. Okay. But it's just like that giving, like to be able to, you know, like it, to me, that was time, right? That's time. I just gave her time and it doesn't have to always be money. So like to cultivate joy is to be able to do things that you typically may not do, right? Like for me, the selfish part of me is fitness. Okay. That's my happy place. Okay. The other part of me giving of myself to another, you know, was that hug and time. And that's usually stuff, the hug is stuff that I usually don't do. I'm not a physical touch person. If you know me for years, I don't hug people. But I can recognize when someone needs a hug. Right. And so I think that part of cultivating joy is looking at it two ways, looking at how what brings you joy and then what will bring joy in other people. So happiness depends on what's happening and joy is an inward feeling. So I was able to give her something that although I was already happy or joyous, I was able to give her a little bit of that. Right. You know, joy is an inward feeling and happiness is an outward expression. So although she was still not happy when I left, she felt a little better on the inside, right? And I think part of that is, like you said, getting out of yourself. And that takes courage. You know, it takes courage to get out of yourself. That's I think that's my closing thoughts. I don't know.
You know,
Yeah.
Change. And if you're not willing to change, then it's going to be impossible, because you're going to look like, imagine a 25-year-old still being a 5-year-old. Okay. You know, and that's not, you know, saying like, you know, people have like mental disorder, like illness or anything. I'm not saying that. Like, normal person, normal, you know, the whole thing. If you're a 25-year-old acting like a 5-year-old, or are you a 50-year-old still acting like a 20? This problem, growth and change go hand in hand. You know, it goes hand in hand. You can't have change without growth, and you can't have growth without change. And somehow the song and dance has to go together. And that looks different for everybody. If you look at forgiveness, if you look at if you get married, or if you look at if you have kids, that goes differently for everybody. Culturally, that could be, you know, culturally, it could be, you know, like, for like one of my friends, for example.
I think part of that song and dance between growth and change is acknowledging, like admitting, like, I'm growing and I'm changing. And whatever that, identify what that is, right? And then once you identify it, then you're going to have to make some decisions that's going to make people what? Unhappy. Mm-hmm. Right? And so, and that is a choice, and it takes courage to do that choice, right? And that's up to you. So for me, I try and do my best, but people know, like, oh, that's Shanina. She's doing what's best for Shanina. Right? Like, people will do what's best for you. I need to do what's best for me. Right? Some people feel, for example, I've never been married, never had kids, but some people feel like, oh, I could dump all this stuff on Shanina because she has not married and she has no kids. And it assumes that Shanina has no responsibilities at all. And I'm like, just because I don't have those two responsibilities don't mean I don't have responsibilities. And so, for example, that happened a lot when I was helping to take care of my mom or some other things. And now that's changed, but there's still, I have responsibilities. So people will put judgment on you and feel and tell you that, oh, that's not real responsibility. And I'm like, well, my responsibility is very different because I didn't make the same choices you made. And so part of that courage is like, yeah, you made that choice. Being a parent is hard. Being a parent is hard, period, because you got to raise a good human being, okay, that is respectable, knowledgeable. Like, you made a human being, mm-hmm. okay? You made a whole human, okay? A whole tribe, okay? Mm-hmm. That's a lot of work, right? Mm-hmm. And for me, I tell folks, like, I chose to be in education, and I'm also working with kids, for example, that parents didn't want. I was in a meeting and the parents said, I never wanted you. I'm crying with the kid. Okay. At that point, I couldn't imagine my own mama looking at me in my face and say, I never wanted you. Okay. Like, I fell out. Me and the girl, we had to go outside and had a moment. Cause I was just like, girl, I would adopt you if I could, mm-hmm. you know? And I think people don't understand, like, when you work with like foster youth who are adopted kids or emancipated kids, it's like, I'm in a hospital too. I'm going to schools too. I'm doing this, similar things, but I just have a larger caseload, right? And I have parental experiences, but I don't classify myself as a parent. That's not Shanina. But I also chose not to be a parent. Like, I didn't want kids. Some people are like, oh, you should be a parent. I'm like, a whole human? A whole human Shanina. I knew who I was growing up. A whole body. Mm-hmm. The Lord is going to have to work on me on that one. Okay, just going to have to work on that. But I think just in general, like, that might change, right? Maybe I'll meet someone, get married, and my whole thought process will change, right? But again, for me, I can't have that thought. Like, I don't know how to have that thought, because right now I'm just going in circles with that thought. So for me, that thought is more of a parking lot idea. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. And that's just what it is. And that's okay. And I have to be okay with people in the sense that feel that way about me. That means they're just not in my inner circle, like, because they don't get my experience, and that's okay. I've been at a church who says that my professional experiences and how I was developed over, you know, how I grew up is preventing me from getting married. I said, so I have to wait until I get married for someone to take out the trash and pay my bills? Is that what you're saying? Like, what are you saying? You know, and so like pushing back on little things like that, because it doesn't make no sense. So for me, I think you have to take a stance on something mm-hmm. or you'll fall for anything. Mm-hmm. And so even if it's different than mine, just stand on it and it's okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Your tribe will be your tribe.
That's right. That's right. Wow. Okay, so you can register for Shanina's workshop by clicking the link below or visiting the website that appears on the screen. So I'm going to end with this. The eye cannot see what the mind does not know. The author is unknown. Be courageous enough to interrogate your own thinking and replace old destructive paradigms with beliefs that serve you and others well. And you can do that by seeking a coach like Shanina.